These scriptures have been going through my head the last 3 or 4 days, and just wanted to share a few things with you tonight. Sometimes I just like to think about things, you know, and so I'll be asking some questions, and sometimes it's and for an answer, and if you want to answer, that's awesome. But sometimes I just want you to think, just to really think and meditate on what Jesus could be saying to you and what he's just saying, period. So if you wouldn't mind turning to John 11, if you're not already there. It's funny, last week I talked a little bit about Mary and Martha, and now I'm on them again. So, all right. Just start in verse 1, 11, 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea. Excuse me, again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. I love that. Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am going for your sakes that I was not there. I'm sorry. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. So Bexley Thomas is like, well, let us also go that we may die with him, which is kind of crazy. But anyways, so let's skip down to... Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he will die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. I just want to hit a few things, and then I'm going to read a couple more scriptures. You know, he specifically says, you know, John is awesome. The book of John is awesome because he gives a picture of Jesus, unlike the other gospels, because he is like, Jesus is like, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. And it's those things that we develop our picture of who God really is and who Jesus is because John is simply very plain in the way that he describes Jesus. And so in here, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. They are very two distinct things. And what I've been thinking on is also... John 10:10. I'm just going to read a couple more. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life, and that they may have it. They may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. And then Jesus also in John 14:6 is, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what is the difference between the resurrection and the life? Right? To me, well, I read some things and then I really started pondering on this because I was thinking, you know, maybe I don't understand something. Because when I think of life, I'm like, you know what? I have life. You know, I pray that a lot, that the spirit of life, that people will be able to see that spirit. I pray a lot about just how God has given me abundant life. That is the one of the reasons why Jesus came. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And in order for him to do that, he restores life to us. Because it says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So Jesus came to destroy those things, to interrupt his plan. And so Jesus being the life, there's something that is distinctly different between the life and the resurrection. Because to me, the resurrection was life, right? So I just kept reading and just studying a few things out of that. And life, I read in this, the description of life in that was basically being able to live. Being able to live. Just to function, just to being able to live. So Jesus was saying, I am giving you the ability to live out who I've called you to be. I'm giving you the ability to live. And if you think about it, you know, our old life, we weren't really living. We were just kind of being robots of whatever addiction we had, of whatever sin that we wanted to do next. And that's just bondage. So we were just feeding our flesh in every area. So, I mean, the Bible is clear in Romans that the wages of sin is death. So we weren't living. And so those places have to begin to change. And the way that they change is when we choose life, right? We choose life. And so I also, with that, I was thinking resurrection. Well, let me say another thing about life. Remember Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, no one comes to the Father except by me. That's very distinct. We don't go to heaven without Jesus, period. No Buddha can get you there. Muhammad can get you there. Jesus is the living God. So we went through Dairy Queen after I got the kids from school. Have ice cream, which is not a normal occasion, but I was selfish and I wanted a chocolate dip cone and they happened to be with me. Just to be honest. They reaped from that. Anyways, so we were there and we were leaving, which Emma's voice is quiet when she wants it to be. Sometimes it's not. So I haven't rolled up the window yet, and Matthew had his window down, which happens to be on the driver's side window also. So she says, that lady doesn't look happy. And I'm like, and Caleb immediately goes, Emma. Because she didn't say it very quietly. Anyway, so she says, the lady doesn't look very happy. And then she said, she must not enjoy her job. So, but with that said, she's not living in her destiny. she's not living in what brings her life. She's not living in that. You know, if you are living your destiny, if you are living in where God has placed you, then you are experiencing life. You are experiencing the life, right? So on the heels of that, we talk about these two crossing guards that are on Dallin and actually Westgate, where we turn to go to school. They're these men. We talk about them all the time. I think Rick's even mentioned them in a sermon before. They are so full of love and life. They are like, I mean, Matthew even rolls down his window and yells, "Hi," because they are like, they're smiling, they're waving, and they tell the kids, we roll down the windows and we go by them to leave, and they're like, "I love you, have a good day," and, you know, and that's like, that's awesome, but they're living their destiny. Now, it may not be glamorous to some, but that's where they're receiving life. Me, that wouldn't be where I would receive life. I'd be like, "Hurry up, get across the street." But that is where they're experiencing life. So, Jesus, the resurrection and the life. So, I was thinking about resurrection and just how that is, it is distinctly different in his description of himself. "I am the resurrection." And I know that we could go in so many different directions with that, as the other things that he mentioned as far as end times and us being resurrected in the body and all those things, but I don't want to talk about that. Philippians 3:10, I'm just going to read it. This is Paul. He's talking, he is writing to the believers in Philippi, and this is a desire of Paul. I'm going to read start in 7. "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but with that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Verse 10 is "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." There is something that we don't really comprehend. And you know what? I hope one day I do. I hope one day that I comprehend what Paul is crying out for, to experience the power, to know the power of his resurrection. Now, we can be spiritual about it and say, "You know what? I think I get it, but I have no clue. I have no clue." Have I experienced it on occasions? Of course, because I'm born again. I'm born again. That was a form of resurrection for me. But what I realized through reading and different things, resurrection, so good. Resurrection means conquer all. So I am the resurrection and the life. I am the one that conquers all and then gives you the ability to walk it out. That's good, isn't it? That's awesome. That is, now, because there is nothing greater that we can experience. We can't fake it or anything else. Nothing greater than death, except life and except resurrection, right? You know, in the Bible, it goes on. Let me go back to John. You know, after this, basically the plot thickens. After he raised Lazarus from the dead, because he just made a statement, he basically was saying, you know what? I am the only reason why he was able to get out of the grave, because I am the one that's able to conquer all and then give him the ability to walk out of that grave, right? Or out of that tomb. So after that, the people were like, we're going to find him and we're going to kill him. So this wasn't, I didn't read it in that version, but it says that John says that the Sanhedrin met together and the chief priest was there. And let me explain first what the Sanhedrin is. The Sanhedrin was a group of 69 to 71 men. And they were set up in the Jewish community as basically judges, as court, as, you know, anything that went on, especially religiously, they went before the Sanhedrin. But the thing also with the Jewish culture is nothing is separated. Their religious beliefs creeps into every part of their life, which is how we're supposed to live. So the Sanhedrin had, like, they're the high courts, like the supreme court of how we live now. So basically this court was like, we're going to find him and we're going to get rid of him. Well, in this court, there were the Sadducees and there were the Pharisees. And in Jesus' day, during this time, there were more Sadducees in the court than there were. It's kind of like the liberals and conservatives today. There were more Sadducees than there were Pharisees. Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. There was a lot of things they didn't believe in. We get some of our teaching from the Pharisees. We get some of our teaching too from different sects that there was in there. But anyway, the Sadducees did not believe there was a life after death. They didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in the supernatural at all. So the priest that is really tuned in and that they go to want him to be motivated to get Jesus. He basically, in verse 49, he says, I'm sorry, verse 11 still, John 11 still. He says, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expended for us that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish. So basically he was saying that it's better for us if one dies for the whole nation instead of the whole nation dying. All right. So he's saying that Jesus is going to die. It was a prophecy out of his own mouth. Right, so remember that he was Sadducee, so he doesn't believe in the supernatural. But what I really wanted to point out is just about Jesus being the resurrection and the life, and that he conquers all of our stuff so that we can live in our destiny, and that we can breathe who we are. And so I believe that it's kind of a continuation of what Jesus was speaking on Sunday, just as far as having our heart in a place of not hidden anymore and not trying to hide those things in our heart that he wants to deal with. Because sometimes, well, it's not sometimes, all the time, Jesus wants us to be in a place where he could say, you know what, this morning I want to use you. And I know that I've been in my life where I felt like I was getting a prophetic word from the Lord, or I was feeling something that he was saying something for someone else or even for the body. And I felt like I had to confess 10 sins before I was able to come up front, or I did it on the way up. And so I feel like the Lord wants us to get to a place where, you know what, we don't live under that anymore. That we get rid of those things, that we could truly experience His resurrection and truly experience Him as the resurrection and the life. So that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. And so if y'all would, let's just pray. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you are the resurrection, that you conquer all of the junk, God, all of the sin, all of the stuff, Lord, that we carry around, Lord, that you conquer that in our heart and in our life. And Jesus, that you have designed us in a way to fulfill a specific purpose in our life. And Jesus, I thank you for each person here, Lord. And I just decree and declare that each person in this room will fulfill their destiny, is walking in their destiny in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you that we experience your life through that, because you have created us to experience you and experience life through what you've ordained us to walk in and anointed us to live in. And Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that tonight, God, as we leave and as we go out, Lord, that we cannot help but to share and not help but pray for people and be for people what you are. And that is the resurrection and the life. And Lord God, I pray that you help us to shine that to people, Lord. Jesus, I ask you, God, that we will become more real with you and more real with each other. God, that we may experience a new level of who you are, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.